Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Ruven Hoffman, Bari Hoffman, Rav Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, of course I want to speak about the Israeli elections that were held. The Israeli elections were held this past Tuesday. And, you know, the results prove what we have said all along, that the majority of Israeli Jews want a right-wing government. They want right-wing leadership. Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the biggest phony in Israeli politics, a complete phony, suddenly moved to the right and said, why can't Jews live in Jerusalem? And if Jews can't live in Jerusalem, they can't, where can they live? And started fighting for the rights of Jews and wanted, and said he's going to build new communities and he's going to do all these other things that for 6 years he hasn't done because he's actually had an anti-Semitic freeze on Jewish building. But during the election, every time he runs in the election, he runs to the right because he knows that that's where Israeli voters are. And when he runs in the election, all of a sudden he says he's against the Palestinian state now. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But he says he's against a Palestinian state, despite the fact that when it's not election time, he supports creating a so-called Palestinian state. And by the way, the day after the election, the very next day, he immediately backtracked and broke his word and went back to saying, no, I'm in favor of a so-called Palestinian state. I just don't think the conditions are ripe right now. But if we could get good conditions, I'm in favor of it. So he moved to the right. He basically said he was against giving up any land. He basically said he was against any surrender. And he said that he was in favor of moving as many Jews as possible into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. All the things that he doesn't do when he's prime minister as a candidate, he says he's in favor of. And that proves that Israeli voters want a right-wing government. They would prefer a strong leader and a right-wing government. Now, of course, they never get a right-wing government. There are no real right-wing politicians or right-wing parties even running. So they never get what they want. They vote for the right and they get the policies of the left carried out by the phony right. The phony right ends up implementing the policies of the left. That's what Netanyahu and the Likud and Arik Sharon and all the other phonies who have been elected through the Likud party over the years, that's what they represent. But look at how he won such a decisive victory. And by the way, in the end, he started saying, the Arabs are coming to the polls. All the Arabs are coming to vote. You better get out and vote because look, the Arabs are voting. I mean, he almost sounded like Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, when he was making these statements. And they accused him of being a racist. He didn't care. He knows that that gets votes in Israel if you say, hey, we got to worry about the Arabs voting. We don't want the Arabs voting in big numbers. So you see, what we've said all along, if only we had the funds to reach the people of Israel on a regular basis with our message, there is no doubt we would build a mass movement quickly and we could replace these really disgusting phony hypocrites and political prostitutes that are running the state of Israel and that are destroying Israel and hurting and endangering the Jewish people, both spiritually and physically. So we see that what is missing is a party that we run with, and it would have to be a party though with the proper funding and with the proper support. And if we had that, we could make a big difference in Israel. By the way, the Yachad party, which is the party that Baruch Marzel, who sometimes says he's a Kahanist, sometimes says he's not a Kahanist, in this past election, he went to the Supreme Court and said that he's not a Kahanist. He said he's changed and he doesn't agree with Rabbi Kahana anymore. But anyway, Baruch Marzel was running on the Yachad party with Eli Yishai. And they came close to winning 4 seats. You got to win at least a minimum of four seats to get into the Knesset. It's actually 3.25% of the vote, which comes to 4 seats. 3.25% of the vote. And they came very close. They got about 3%. Instead of 3.25%, so they came 0.25% short. They got 3% of the vote instead of 3.25%. And surely enough, what do we discover? that they were, it appears that they were robbed of the election. They were running Eli Yishai quit Shas and was trying to get votes away from Shas. That was one of the things, one of the parties he was running against. And Shas, as usual, the dirtiest tactics, the most corrupt tactics possible. Let me tell you how it works. You go behind a screen in Israel and you have the different parties. You vote for the party. In Israel, you don't vote for the candidates. You vote for a party. And then the party has a list, but you don't see the list. You just see the party name, and you vote for the party name or the symbol of the party. And you put the party symbol, you get the party symbol, you put it inside an envelope, and then you put the envelope in the ballot box. That's how you vote in Israel. The problem is that when people went to vote, the voting symbols, in other words, the cards are stacked on the table. There are cards stacked on the table for Likud, there are cards stacked on the table for the Labor Party, for all the other parties. The cards that were supposed to be stacked on the table for Yachad, for the party Baruch Marzel was running on, were all missing in many of the areas where people were voting. There were no cards to be found. And when people went out and said, hey, the cards are missing for Yachad, you know what they said to them, the election workers? They said, so vote for Shas. I mean, it was just, what they did is they went in and destroyed the cards. So many people were denied the right to vote for the Yachad party. This is as anti-democratic as you can get. And it was not an honest election. In addition to that, you had some of the cards. Then you had other situations where the cards were there, but the cards had been replaced by phony cards so that they were invalidated later by election officials. Every possible example of fraud under the sun was committed. There were even in the park. There were in the park. All of a sudden, people found thousands of Yachad cards, hundreds, or I don't remember if it was in one particular park, if it was hundreds or several thousand or several hundred, but it was a large stack of Yachad cards were just thrown away in the park, so that all these people who could have voted for them never got a chance to vote. So even though, you know, we've had our differences with Baruch Marzel, and we weren't thrilled with the Yachad party because Eli Yishai supported the Oslo agreements. But still, they were defrauded. There's no question about it, and it was an injustice. It was an outrage, and so we certainly are against that, and we're certainly protesting that. We're going to protest that. And you know, just because they attacked me personally, and just because they've done some things to us that were unjust, that doesn't mean that when unjust things are done, that we're going to be silent. We are not like that. And when someone does something unjust, and when someone does something corrupt, and when someone denies rights to Jews, we're going to speak out, even if in the past we might have been wronged by some of the people that were victims of the injustice. Even if that's true, we are still going to speak out when an injustice is done. That's why I did a video and we spoke out and we protested when they wanted to ban Baruch Marzel. We were against his banning. And we also are going to speak out about this because I think that there was a lot of hanky-panky going on that was unfair. And of course, if we run, when the day will come, of course, when our people will run, God willing, and when our people run, they're going to try to do the same thing to us. So we don't want this type of thing taking place. We want clean, honest elections because you know that they're going to try to do the same thing to us. So that's the situation we face in Israel. We now have a chance to reach the Jews of Israel with a real right-wing message, not with the phony one that Netanyahu gave at the end, but a real right-wing message. The people of Israel want that. We have a chance. If only we can reach enough people, we have a shot now at doing this. The more people we reach, the better it is. Netanyahu was saying he was worried that a lot of Arabs are going to vote. If it were up to us, all the Arabs would leave Israel and they wouldn't be voting because we want to encourage them to leave the land of Israel, and then we won't have to worry about Arabs coming and voting and distorting the results of the election as they do in every election now. We won't have to worry about terrorism. We won't have to worry about terrorism within the state of Israel. We won't have to worry about these things because our enemies will be out if we have our way. That is an appealing message to the people of Israel. We have to convince them, of course, that our plan is realistic. We have to convince them, of course, that it's doable and that it's something that should be implemented. And that takes convincing. That takes convincing because all the establishment parties tell them, oh, no, that's not realistic. Just like all the people in the Jewish establishment in Europe and America and everywhere else always said that the creation of a Jewish state isn't realistic. Before 1948, everybody always said creating the majority of Jews in the world were against the creation of a Jewish state because they were told that it's unrealistic, it's crazy, what are you talking about, you'll never survive. They were told that was unrealistic. So the people who say things are unrealistic are wrong. It is not unrealistic to say that we should do what the Torah and the Bible command us to do. If we do what Hashem tells us to do, that is the most realistic policy we can implement. And Hashem does not want enemies of the Jewish people in the state of Israel or in the land of Israel. So we have a chance to reach them with a right-wing message and to convince people before the next election. And hopefully we'll have somebody, I hope we'll have a party that we can really support in the next election. We are, as I mentioned on last week's program, we're in discussion. And I've mentioned on recent programs, we have a dialogue and we have discussions with people who are planning to run in future elections. So I'm hoping that we're going to have somebody that we're going to be supporting in the next election, and we're going to be involved openly with somebody that we're supporting. We'll see how that works out. We will report to you as time goes on. But we are in discussion with people. We are having discussions with people who are very much involved in the Israeli political process. People, obviously, right-wing political leaders. So you never know. It is quite possible that in the next election, JTF is going to be involved in terms of supporting somebody, and JTF will be an actual part of that campaign. Let's hope so. And, of course, we hope, God willing, that I'm allowed into Israel. If I were allowed into Israel, then of course, I would be interested in running and being part of that process. I couldn't run by myself because I wouldn't get enough votes to pass the threshold. The threshold is 3.25%. We don't have enough money to pass that threshold. If we had more money, I could run myself and easily pass. But we don't have enough money, and so we'd have to form a coalition with other right-wing right-wing people. We'd have to form a coalition so that we would have enough votes to have a realistic chance of passing the threshold. In other words, do what Baruch Marzal attempted to do in this past election. He came close, by the way. He came close to winning. But we would have to also try to form a coalition with people on the right so that as part of a coalition, we would hopefully pass the threshold. Now, again, even if I'm not in Israel, we hope that we'll have somebody that we will be able to at least be supporting in the election. That's the situation in Israel. We want to reach as many people as possible with our message. That means videos, that means Facebook, that means YouTube, that means our great news sites in Hebrew and English. We want to reach as many people as possible. That's going to be the goal now, and that's what we need your help with. That's the situation in Israel. Now, in the United States, as you know, next year we have the presidential election in the United States. Next February is going to be the Iowa caucuses, and we're going to have Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, the first four states that are going to be leading into the big, you know, this what they call the Super Sunday contest, where you have like 10 or 12 states running primaries and caucuses all on one day. So we're getting into that season again, which is going to come in less than a year. It's already late March, and so we're talking about the voting that is going to be taking place in less than 11 months from now. And I don't have to tell you that in American politics, if an election is taking place less than 11 months from now, that means the election is already on. They're already campaigning. It's already starting. You got to get involved now. Otherwise, you have no chance of winning. And of course, just to prove the point, the first candidate, the first Republican who is expected to announce his candidacy tomorrow will be Ted Cruz, the guy that we're supporting, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. And we are supporting Senator Cruz. He's expected to announce his candidacy tomorrow. He will be the first Republican to announce that he's running for president. He's actually in either party. He's the first candidate to announce his candidacy. If he does indeed announce tomorrow as expected. Now, Ted Cruz, we support him. We very much support him, very much want him. Unfortunately, according to the polls, he's now getting only 4% of the vote among Republican voters. Because it's so split up among so many different people, and there are people who are much better known than him. So he's only getting 4% of the vote. So I don't know what his chances are. I think he would be an outstanding candidate. I think he's an excellent speaker, a great debater. I do believe that his conservative policies could sell the same way Ronald Reagan was able to get elected. Whether or not he can overcome all the disadvantages of being opposed by the establishment and the media and everybody else and not having the huge donors backing him up, whether or not he could overcome all of that, I don't know. I don't know. But we're going to support him. We're going to give him a shot. If he doesn't make it, then we certainly, what we do want is someone to get someone else to get the Republican nomination who is not Jeb Bush or Rand Paul. We don't want Jeb Bush or Rand Paul. That's going to be the key. What are our goals in the election? Our goal, of course, in the election is to have a president who will not pressure Israel not to strike Iran. We want a president who, first of all, we'd like to have a president who will strike Iran. We want military action to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. I hope they don't have nuclear bombs by the time the next president takes office already. It may be too late, God forbid. But if it isn't, we want a president who will take action against the nuclear Iran and against the nuclearization of other Muslim terrorist states like Saudi Arabia and other countries, because that's going to start if Iran goes nuclear. So on Iran, we want a president that realizes what a threat this is, that realizes you can't trust or deal with the Iranians, and that will take action to stop them. And as far as Israel and creating a so-called Palestine state and going back to pre-67 borders or making any retreats, we want a president that is not going to pressure Israel, not on settlements, not on Jerusalem, not on Judea and Samaria, not on a so-called Palestine state. We don't want any pressure on Israel. That's what we're looking for. Ted Cruz would, in my opinion, would be that type of president. Hillary Clinton, of course, is the opposite. We see after the election in Israel what a vicious, Jew-hating, Muslim piece of subhuman slime we have in the White House. Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. That filthy, Muslim, Jew-hating, affirmative action piece of subhuman garbage is so viciously anti-Semitic and is so viciously against Israel. He's attacking Bibi so hysterically and openly, brutally, openly attacking and bashing Israel in the most obvious way. I mean, his hatred, his hostility toward Israel is so self-apparent. And that's what we don't want a continuation of, because that means that there's pressure on Israel not to take action against Iran, and that, you know, That's all you need with a wimpy BB. He won't take any action if the American president tells him no. And it means, of course, that there's pressure on Israel to continue the building freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, which BB has given into, and so on. By the way, Obama is so much against him anyway. I don't know what he is gaining by not destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program and by continuing to freeze Jewish building. He gets no credit from Obama, no matter what he does, no matter how much he caves in. So I don't know why he caves in. I don't know why he does what he does. It's insane. And this is what I want to reach the people of Israel with, that message. This is insane. Yes, Obama would be mad if our policies were implemented, but we wouldn't face a nuclear Iran, and we'd have so many Jews in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, there'd be no hope of creating a Palestine state, no matter how much pressure there is. Wouldn't that be more logical? Wouldn't that be a better situation for Israel? Obama's against us anyway. The media's against us anyway. Who cares? But unfortunately, the stupid, self-hating Jewish leaders of Israel do care about what the president says, so we want a president who's not going to pressure Israel. Hillary Clinton is just as evil, Jew-hating, and hostile to Israel as Obama. No difference whatsoever. She called herself the designated yeller. In other words, she admitted that she used to go to Israel to yell at Netanyahu. Now, she never yelled at any other leaders. She didn't go to leaders around the world yelling at them. I mean, you don't do that as a diplomat. But the one leader that she would go around and actually yell at him and scream at him and scold him, that's how hostile she is, was Netanyahu. She is a vicious Jew hater. She always was a vicious Jew hater. She's the one that started this Iran deal going when she was Secretary of State, this disastrous deal that will enable Iran, God forbid, to go nuclear, to have a nuclear bomb, to have nuclear bombs, God forbid. And she's the one, she viciously has opposed anything that's good for Israel. She is as much of a disaster for Israel as Obama. She is a mortal threat to Israel's survival. And she's the front runner in all the polls. Despite her latest problems and her scandal, she's still the front runner. So we want her defeated. But we don't want her defeated by someone like Jeb Bush, who's also an anti-Semite. Jeb Bush is now, his main advisor now is James F. the Jews Baker. James Baker, who was Secretary of State under the first Bush, right, under Bush the father. You know, you have Bush the father and Bush the son. But Bush the father, his Secretary of State was James Baker, and James Baker, if you recall, said, F the Jews, they don't vote for us anyway. He was such a vicious Jew hater, and surely enough, who is Jeb Bush's main advisor? James F. the Jews Baker. And where is James F. the Jews Baker making his first speech of the campaign? The first big speech he's making is to J Street. Those Jewish Nazis who want to destroy Israel and destroy their own people. Jewish Nazis. That's what J Street are. They're Jewish Nazis who do everything they can to destroy their own people. And that's where James F. the Jews Baker is making his first speech. So we don't want Jeb Bush as the Republican nominee. And we don't want Rand Paul. We've spoken many times about what an anti-Semite Rand Paul is. He's no different from his father, Ron Paul, on Israel. He's a Jew hater all the way. We want somebody other than that. That we certainly are going to strive for, to get a Republican at least that won't pressure Israel, that won't brutally, obsessively pressure Israel to commit suicide. Ted Cruz would be ideal if he doesn't make it, because he's only at 4% in the polls. We at least want someone else who's not going to pressure Israel. We also, of course, want someone who's not in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens and who takes the other positions that are important to us on the issues, obviously, because those are also important matters that will very much affect the future of the world. By the way, just to show you the type of influence we have on events, you know, some of our videos, when we went against Obama, for instance, in the last election, 2012, we did a video saying Obama supporters are so stupid and ignorant. I don't remember exactly, but I think that was the title. Obama supporters are so stupid and ignorant. That was the title of the video. We did it in October of 2012. Several weeks before the election. That video has over 120,000 views on YouTube. Over 120,000 views. It's just an example. We've also done videos in Hebrew that have very large numbers of views. So, you know, we were reaching, I mean, when we have our video campaign, especially in the political campaigns, we reach large numbers of people. A video we did on Herzog, for instance, on how he was humiliated on British television. We did a video there that I just saw recently with over 40,000 views. And that's in Hebrew, in a country the size of Israel. Over 40,000 Israelis saw that. 40,000 people is more than one Knesset seat. So, you know, we reach people. I mean, we do hundreds of videos. So we reach people with our message. The more people we reach, the better. So we need help, because we want to reach as many people as we can with our news page, with our videos on Facebook, on YouTube, everywhere we can. We want to be able to do that, and we need your help to do that. That means joining and publicizing our great news pages. We have a news page in Hebrew. We have a news page in English. The English news page, of course, is jtf.org. The Hebrew one is hayamin.org. And most importantly, we need your financial support. The more support we get, the more people we reach, the more effective our message is. That's our number one downfall, is that we don't have enough financial support. But the more we get, the more people we can reach. And of course, all the wonderful JTFers who on a regular basis send us checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box, God bless you. You are really making a big difference and really helping us. You're the one voice of the true, pure right wing, the true uncompromising right wing. You're supporting us. You're enabling us to reach Israel with the truth, with the real truth. And I don't think there's anything more important than that. And so checks and money orders and cash donations sent to the post office box, very, very important. And God bless the great JTFers who are doing that. In addition to that, of course, some people for convenience sake would rather make the contributions online with their credit card. Makes no difference. That's just as good. And there, it can easily be done by going to the donate button on the Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page, again, is hayamin.org, and the donate button in English on top. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes you can conveniently make a donation. And, of course, God bless the wonderful JTFers that are doing that. So, because of your support, because of your help, we've been able to reach people with messages. There's at least one voice out there that's pure, uncompromising, and convincing and persuasive, because our message is persuasive. So that's important. And the more help we get, the more people we're able to reach, the better chance we have of influencing things for the better, and of eventually of reaching enough people so that by the time the next election comes around, hopefully we'll be part of the process in the next election, we'll be part of what's going on in the next election, and we'll be able to actually get our voice heard in the Knesset. And I'm hoping, God willing, and hopefully that will begin to lead to the type of changes we're looking for. So this is very, very important. It's a very important part of the process, and you're really helping us tremendously when you support us. And I thank the great JTFers for the support they have been sending. God bless you. All right, so you see that we're on the beginning of what could be a very promising period for us. We're going to begin. Our challenge is we have to act like a team now. Everybody in JTF, you're part of a team when you're in JTF, whether you're helping us financially, whether you're helping us spread the word about the videos, or whether you're helping us on Facebook or YouTube, or helping with our forums, or helping us with our news pages. You're part of our team. As a team, we're going forward, and we're going to try to influence things in Israel and in the United States. And you're part of that process and part of that team when you help JTF and when you join with us in JTF. All right, let's go now to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, CVS recently stopped selling cigarettes. What are your thoughts? Unquote. Well, thank God that they did. Cigarettes are poison. Cigarettes are responsible for the deaths of I don't know how many millions of people have died because of cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes will kill you. There's no question about it. It causes cancer. It causes heart disease. It causes stroke. It causes endless other diseases. I can't tell you how many people I know who died because they smoked cigarettes. Some of them from lung cancer. Some of them from emphysema. Some of them from strokes. All types of complications. People who smoke cigarettes do not very rare that people who smoke cigarettes will live a long, healthy life. It's unusual. Most people who smoke cigarettes will not live a long, healthy life. They're going to have their life cut short in terms of the amount of time that they live and the quality of their life. The quality, the devastating pain and agony and illness that they're going to go through is not worth taking puffs on those nasty cancer sticks that you call a cigarette. It's very, very bad. Very, very bad for you. And nobody should ever touch that stuff. And if you know anybody who smokes, if you know people who smoke and you care about them and you love them, do everything you can to convince them to give it up, because it's a terrible, terrible thing. One day at a time, you give it up. You say, today I'm not going to smoke. And just go through one day. If you can go through one day without smoking, then the next day you do the same thing. Just take it one day at a time. Just make sure for one whole day that you can go without smoking. If you can do that, then you can go without smoking forever, God willing. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. Joe Gutfeld now writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. What do you think of these two great baseball players, Hank Greenberg and Sandy Koufax? Thanks, unquote. Well, they were certainly very, very skilled and talented baseball players, two Jewish athletes that were extraordinarily skilled and great. They were great baseball players. There's no question about that. Unfortunately, as symbols for the Jewish people, they weren't very good. Hank Greenberg intermarried. A famous guy, so rich, so famous with everything in life. He had to intermarry. You know, his second marriage, he had to intermarry. And then Sandy Koufax, the guy's an old man now, obviously. He had to kiss Obama's tuchus in 2010 at a White House ceremony. He went to a White House ceremony, Jewish American Heritage Month or whatever, where they honor every self-hating Jew under the sun. Sandy Koufax is one of the people getting the honors, and he had to go there to kiss Obama's ass at the White House. I mean, I would have said, you know, I would have, if I had been invited, I would have gone to the White House and I would have said, you're an anti-Semite and you're pressuring Israel. And I would have attacked Obama at the White House. I would have blasted away at Obama and said, you're pressuring Israel to commit suicide. You have the nerve to talk about Jewish American heritage. You're trying to destroy the Jewish people, you Muslim Jew hater. I would have said that. And they wouldn't have invited me again. Big deal. What does he have to lose? He's rich. He's famous. He's retired. They can't do anything to him. But no, he had to go there. He's so happy. He's so honored. He has to kiss Obama's tuchus. Disgusting. I'm sorry. To me, that's disgusting. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, if non-Kahanist religious Zionists took over the whole WZO, would it really help Israel? WZO meaning the World Zionist Organization. If it's about funding, shouldn't religious Zionists donate directly to right-wing causes in Israel and get rid of the bureaucracy? The WZO charges people money to vote in their elections, unquote. Absolutely, I agree with you 100%. I do not think we should be involved in that. I think if instead of spending money on those stupid elections, give the money directly to JTF. If people have money, give the money to JTF. And then we won't have these bureaucracies. We don't need bureaucracies. JTF doesn't want bureaucracies. JTF wants money to go directly. If we were in power, we wouldn't be funding bureaucracies. We would want the money to go directly to Jewish settlements, to yeshivas, to technological pursuits for the state of Israel so we have a strong military. Those are the things we'd be doing, Jewish education. The money should go directly to those causes. And so if you believe in that and you want an Israel that will eventually do that, JTF is the best group to support. Thank you, Binyamin. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Albanian Catholics have saints all over one wall, Kosovo Liberation Army martyrs, quote unquote, on another, unquote. Yes, I agree with you completely. That's very unfortunate. And the Muslims in Albania hate the Catholics because they hate all non-Muslims. And, you know, but some of the Catholics in Albania, you know, they don't get the message. They don't understand. And they, you know, they're going to support the KLA, even though the KLA is a Muslim terrorist drug dealing organization of gangsters and mass murderers. And, well, I agree with you. It's a very serious problem. And that's why we support the Serbs. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, quote, most younger Americans would accept a war against Israel, unquote. I think most young Americans would accept anything that they feed them. They're so brainwashed, they're so dumbed down, they're so ignorant and uneducated. You know, look at the quality of what's on the internet, of what's on television, of what's of the so-called music today. It is for people who have an IQ in the single digits. It is for people who are so stupid and so ignorant and so immoral and so pathetic because this generation has been dumbed down to the point where they're beyond dumb. So they'd accept anything, of course. They would accept a Hitler also as president. They'd accept anything. Now, are we going to try to change that? Yes, we're going to try to change it. We're going to try to reach in this president. We're going to use the presidential campaign as a tool to educate people. Next year's presidential campaign, we want to use that as a tool. We want to, first of all, get a president who's going to be good. And second, or at least it won't be as bad. And secondly, we also use the presidential campaign, aside from that, as a tool to educate. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, Herzog as Gog. No, I don't think that's Yitzhak Herzog, the head of the Labor Party, no, because Gog is not going to be under Jewish, the biblical description of Gog is he's not going to be a Jew. Gog is going to be, the Gog will be the leader of Magog. Magog will be the big empire, the big superpower that will gather all the nations of the world to war against Israel, unite all the nations of the world to war against Israel. That will not be, Magog will not be Israel and will not be a Jewish nation. Herzog is part of Israel. So even though Herzog is a traitor and evil, he's still in Israel. So he wouldn't be Gog. Gog will be the leader of Magog, Magog being a name symbolizing the superpower in the end of days that will unite the whole world, the whole world become part of a United Nations against Israel. Now, is it possible, you know, I said Gog is not Jewish. I'm not 100% sure that the leader of that superpower won't be Jewish. That's possible, that a Jewish politician could get elected, God forbid, president of the United States or leader of whatever country becomes that superpower. Of course, that's possible. But again, it has to be this huge non-Jewish superpower that's going to lead all the other nations of the world against Israel. That's the biblical prophecy. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, say prayers for my grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away a week ago at 84, unquote. Absolutely. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to hear that, Smash Islam. Alav HaShalom. He should rest in peace. He should rest in peace. I hope your grandfather, is in the world to come, Ba'olam Haba, with all the blessings, all the possible blessings. Absolutely, we should pray for him. We should absolutely pray for his soul. Absolutely. Smash Islam now writes, too, Imam Abu Farah molested teen. Is media silent because he's not Catholic? Unquote. Yeah, this is the guy who complained that he's being discriminated against, if you remember. He's the guy who said they profiled me on a flight, on an airplane flight. In other words, they asked him, they basically asked him to go through the usual security procedures that they ask everybody to go through. So he said, I was profiled. I'm supposed to get special treatment because I'm a Muslim. You know, so he was complaining that he claimed he was discriminated against and profiled. Now we find out that he molested a 15-year-old teen. Anyway, that's supposed to be the big Muslim leader that we're supposed to so admire. What a religion. By the way, can we be surprised? Mohammed, the founder of the religion. Mohammed, the founder of religion, married an 8-year-old girl, married a 6-year-old girl, Aisha, when he was in his 50s. He was in his 50s, Aisha was 6 years old, and he had sex with her when she was 8 years old. That's the founder of their religion. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, are Pat Buchanan and Rand Paul isolationists first and anti-Semites out of necessity to make isolationism fit, or is it the other way around, unquote? I do think that they're both isolationists and anti-Semites. Well, Pat Buchanan, by the way, is not really an isolationist. Pat Buchanan supported the war in Vietnam. He supported other. He's not really an isolationist. He's just an anti-Semite. Now, in the Middle East, he sometimes adopts the isolationist policy if he thinks it's going to hurt Israel. But he's not really. He traditionally was not an isolationist. Pat Buchanan is his main issue is anti-Semitism. Is that he's a Nazi. He supports the Nazis and he wants to exterminate the Jewish people. He's obsessed with it. Ron and Rand Paul are obsessed with both. I don't know which is more important to them. I don't know. But they are both isolationists and they're anti-Semites. I mean, they're obsessed with both. I don't know which is predominant over the other in their minds, but they are both of them are those are the two leading tenets of their philosophy in terms of foreign policy. Thank you, PMN. And we go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, was Bibi's win good because it hurt Obama, unquote? There are good aspects to his win and there are bad aspects. Yes, the fact that it hurts Obama and that it continues to show Jews how much of a tension there is with Obama and how much of a problem Obama is and how much Israel should be going independent and stop being dependent on the United States because you can't rely on the United States. The United States elects someone like Obama president. How can you trust your survival when you have a country that's electing people, Jew haters like Obama, to the White House? So absolutely, that aspect, I think, probably is a positive aspect, but there are many negative aspects. Bibi presents himself as the right wing, and then his policies are going to fail because he's not really the right wing. His policies will fail. And in the end, that means people are going to sour on the right. They're going to say, oh, you see, the right wing policies don't work. So there are good aspects to his winning and there are bad aspects. With the aspect you're mentioning of it hurting Obama and of it pointing out the differences we have with Obama and what a Jew hater Obama is, that aspect happens to be good. that aspect happens to be good. But, you know, you got good, you got positive points, negative points. There's a lot of negative, too. There are a lot, BB, there are some very serious problems with him. Very serious. This is a guy who gives in while pretending he's not giving in. And that can be a real problem. Dr. Dan now writes, too, your take on Yachad not getting into the Knesset, unquote. Okay, Yachad, again, is the party which Baruch Marzal was running on with Eli Yishai. I actually covered this, Dr. Dan, in my opening. Dr. Dan always reads my mind, by the way, and his questions frequently. His questions, he already knows what I'm going to say in my opening. Because Dr. Dan is you know, so experienced and such a veteran, you know, such a veteran activist that he knows, he already knows. But I covered it in my opening. I think Yachad, I think the election was stolen from them. I think there was a lot of fraud, and we're against that. Even though we've had our differences with Baruch Marzal in the past and with Yachad, nevertheless, we protest if there's fraud and there's dirty play in the elections. We're against that, and we protest that. The people of Israel at least have a right to clean, honest elections, and I don't think that's what took place. I think there was a lot of fraud. They came very close to getting into the Knesset, very, very close, but there were thousands of ballots that were destroyed. Thousands of ballots were deliberately tampered with, or fraudulent ballots were introduced so that they'd be invalidated. I mean, you don't do that in an election. That's a concerted effort to deny people representation. And I think that did take place. And that's something, even if we have political differences with them on certain issues, we're not going to be silent when somebody does that. When injustice is done, we're going to speak out and we're going to protest. And we're against what they did. And our Hebrew movement is already speaking out against it, and we support their efforts to demand a full and complete investigation into what happened. Dr. Dan now writes, 3, a tribute to Alan Dershowitz, good, bad, and ugly, unquote. Well, of course, the good part, we know that he was willing to debate Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our great leader, and that, you know, and he deserves credit for that. The fact that he was willing to debate Rabbi Kahana and he did not favor the banning of Rabbi Kahana, that he deserves credit for. But the bad aspects of him are really, really bad. For instance, he said that he spoke to the Harvard Law School and he told the Harvard Law School that he would have gotten Hitler acquitted. He would have represented Hitler and would have gotten him acquitted. I mean, that is the sick, I mean, what a sick thing for a Jew or anybody to say, that you'd get Hitler acquitted. And let me make it very clear, Hitler has no rights. Someone like that has zero rights, no rights for anything. Someone who does what Hitler did has no rights. Nazis should not have any rights. They have no rights. And Dershowitz, though, he believes in these westernized concepts that even the most brutal, mass-murdering beasts, you have to read them their rights and their Miranda rights. And this is sick beyond all words. Sick. It is not a Jewish concept at all. But he actually said, this is a Jewish lawyer saying, he would have represented Hitler and got him acquitted after what Hitler did during the Holocaust. I think that really says it all. I think this is a mental illness. I mean, this is the product of a person who has a completely twisted view of morality to make a statement like that. Also, look at who he's defended and gotten off. He defended murderers like O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson is one example, and numerous murderers. I mean, he's defended them over the years. He defends pedophiles like Jeffrey Epstein. So he defends people that are hurting innocent people that do terrible things to society, and he gets them off just to prove what a great lawyer he is. Is that moral? Is that a good thing to do? Obviously not. He also supported Barack Hussein Obama, who's trying to destroy the Jewish people and destroy Israel and doing terrible harm to Israel and the Jewish people. He supported him in 2008. He supported him in 2012. He strongly defended him in 2012, really strongly endorsed him and defended him. So I think overall, the overall picture is very negative from Dershowitz. I think that's very bad. Yes, he debated Rabbi Kahana. He deserves credit for that. He was against banning Rabbi Kahana, deserves credit for that. But his positions on the issues and the things that he supports and the statements that he makes are so bad for the Jewish people and so bad for the world that I think that outweighs the credit that he deserves for being willing to debate Rabbi Kahana. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, "I just found out that my great niece, who is only 15, is now a practicing Muslim. Do you think I should sit Shiva?" Unquote. Wow, that is terrible. I'm really sorry, Chicago Jew. Well, you know, we only, of course, people only sit Shiva for their, if their children become practicing Muslims, for immediate family members, the immediate family. But I understand what you're saying. I think you're basically saying, should you cut off ties with her? If she's going to be a Muslim, absolutely. She's going to be a Muslim, absolutely. What a sick, evil thing to do. She wants to join the most evil religion, unless you could convince her not to do it. I mean, if you can convince her not to do it, you would save her soul. But if you can't, then absolutely she should be cut off. If she's going to join the enemy, she should be cut off. If you can convince her not to do it, because she's a 15-year-old girl, a very dumb 15-year-old girl, I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if I would tell her that while trying to convince her, but she is very dumb and ignorant. But if you can convince her not to do it, then you'd be saving her soul. But if you can't, someone who's a practicing Muslim, I mean, a Jew who becomes a practicing Muslim is the lowest thing on the face of the earth. So, I'm really sorry to hear that, Chicago Jew. Very sorry to hear that. Let's go now to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Russia moving into more East European countries. Good to keep the Reshaim occupied instead of focus on Israel and punish those nations," unquote. I hope I understand your question. Is it good that that all this is happening because it keeps them focused on things other than Israel? Unfortunately, that's not happening, Tag Mechir. Russia is very much focused on Israel. As much as Russia is focused on the Ukraine and focused on the Baltic states and focused on Chechnya and all these other republics and countries that they want to dominate, that's true. Russia is involved in all of that, but Russia also is very much focused on helping Iran build nuclear bombs, on helping Egypt now with a nuclear program. So Russia is doing the worst possible things in terms of what they could be doing to Israel. They're helping Israel's Muslim Nazi enemies build nuclear bombs, which could lead, God forbid, to a nuclear holocaust. So unfortunately, with Russia, we're dealing with an enemy that really, really is endangering Israel's survival. Israel can't do anything militarily to Russia. The only thing Israel can do is destroy, again, as we've said a zillion times, is destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That is the only sane thing that Israel could do in terms of saving Israel. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And we go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What are some good college choices for Jews in Israel and for righteous Gentiles in the U.S.?" unquote. You know, I really don't like the colleges in Israel. I think that they're pretty much all bad, including the so-called religious one like Bar Ilan or the other so-called religious one in Ariel. They have terrible programs of kissing Arab behind and being good to the Muslims and political correctness. And they're disgusting. Disgusting. So I don't like the colleges in Israel. I don't know of any that I don't know of any that are good. And in the United States, I don't know enough to say, but the ones that I know are all bad in the United States. The ones that I know are all bad. Is it possible that there are some that are good for the righteous Gentiles in the United States? Maybe. Maybe there's something that I don't know, because there are a lot of colleges, so maybe there's something that I don't know. Thank you, EB. We go now to Mein Koran, which is similar to Mein Kampf. Mein Koran writes, and I quote, comments on, one, Starbucks Race Together campaign. Okay, and unquote. It's so grotesque. You know, this is, you know, the CEO of Starbucks is Howard Schultz, a self-hating Jew. He doesn't care about his fellow Jews. He doesn't care about Israel, the Jewish people self-destructing. That doesn't bother him. That doesn't bother him. I mean, the people, the Jews, all the Jewish yuppies that go to drink his coffee in Starbucks, 60-70% of them are intermarrying and leaving the Jewish people and disappearing as Jews. That doesn't bother him. Israel's being pressured to commit suicide. That doesn't bother him. America is going down the drain and disintegrating. That doesn't bother him. What bothers him? He's fighting for the blacks, a group that has the highest rate of anti-Semitism and hatred of all the major ethnic groups in America. That's who he fights for. And he actually has the nerve to write messages like this on people's coffee cups. You can't even drink a cup of coffee without getting this shoved down your throat. I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting, frankly. I think people should boycott them. Mein Koran now writes, too, Oliver Stone's son saying Jews did 9/11, unquote. Yeah, well, Oliver Stone is a Jew hater. His son is a Jew hater. I mean, the whole family are just evil animals. What do you expect? I mean, these are evil people. And this is the left. The left are the worst Jew haters. The worst Nazis are the left. The left are the Nazis of our generation. Are there so-called Nazis? No, not so-called, but are there Nazis who claim to be right-wing? There are. There are people on the so-called right, but they're not real right-wingers. If they're anti-Semitic and they're Nazi, they're not real right-wingers. Nazism is National Socialism. Nazism is left-wing. And the left, the communists, the socialists, the Democrats, these are the worst anti-Semites, and Oliver Stone and his son are examples of this. Now, Hollywood is viciously anti-Semitic, very anti-Semitic, very anti-Israel. They want to destroy the Jewish people, destroy Israel. How can you get anything more anti-Semitic than wanting a Holocaust against Israeli Jews? They want to help Hamas and Hezbollah and Fatah perpetrate a Holocaust against the Jewish people. How can anything be more, and Daesh is the Islamic State. They want to help them perpetrate a Holocaust against the Jewish people. So, you know, Oliver Stone and his son, this is par for the course. This is predictable because this is where the anti-Semitism of is coming from. In the vast majority of cases, it comes from the left. Mein Koran now writes, 3 upcoming French elections, unquote. I don't know enough about the... I don't think there are French political parties that are good. I don't think there are. I think the French political parties are bad. I know they're anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. And I think they're also anti-American. I think they all basically have socialist policies. France is a very socialist country. And I don't think any of them are good. I don't think any of them are good. Is it possible some are worse than others? I don't know enough to say which is worse and which is better. I think the National Front is a Nazi-type party. They have Nazi-like policies. And by the way, they, like true Nazis, they are socialists also. They support socialist government control programs, like true Nazis would. The differences between all the different parties, the Socialist Party and the other different parties, the ones that claim to be conservative and claim to be left-wing, I don't know. I don't know enough, but I do know that in France, the political power structure and the political parties, they're all bad. That I know. Which is worse than the other and which may be the lesser of the evils, that I don't know enough to tell. I wouldn't know enough to say. Thank you, Mein Koran. And we go now to T-Seeker, who writes, and I quote, or T-Seeker, I guess, means truth-seeker, who writes, and I quote, Norman Finkelstein, classic comedy act, unquote. Well, he's a classic Jewish anti-Semite. He's the ultimate example. He's actually a Jewish Nazi. This is a self-described communist. He's a Holocaust denier. Holocaust deniers are Nazis. And he favors the destruction of Israel. So he is literally, he's a Jewish Nazi. I mean, this is a guy who denies that the Holocaust took place, wants another Holocaust against the Jews of Israel. Now, how can you get worse than this? Does everything he can to incite the world against Israel to try to destroy Israel. Everything he can. I don't see how anything could get worse than that. T. Seeker now writes, just watched his comments on the Israeli elections on RT. RT is the Russian network. Crazy man, unquote. Yep, I agree with you. Thank you, Truth Seeker. And we go now to Mr. VSS, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please educate, inform, and enlighten about the Rosenberg's case and execution, unquote. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were two spies who there were scientists who were part of America's nuclear program to develop atomic bombs for the United States. And they were actually, but they were also members of the Communist Party in the United States, and they were spies. They were spying for the Soviet Union and passed information on to the Soviets to help the Soviets also develop nuclear bombs. The Rosenbergs did this knowing that they were helping the Soviet Union that was run by the monster Joseph Stalin. Stalin probably murdered more people than Adolf Hitler. Just a monster beyond words. The Rosenbergs were Jews, of course, Jewish communists, and they were helping someone who wanted to destroy their people. Stalin slaughtered huge numbers of Jews, forced huge numbers of Jews to assimilate and to give up their Judaism. He outlawed Judaism. In fact, anyone who practiced Judaism, he put them in Siberia or tortured them to death, murdered, but just slaughtered people if they tried to practice Judaism. Even Jews that were loyal communists, even the Jews who were loyal communists, he accused of trying to poison him. The Jewish doctors were trying to poison him. I mean, the worst type of Jew-hating Nazi filth. And the Rosenbergs supported him and supported him fanatically. They gave their lives to help this monster that wants to destroy their people and to help him get nuclear weapons. So they deserved everything they got. They were tried and convicted at a time when America was not yet politically correct and was still a little bit on the normal side. They were tried and convicted and they were executed, and they deserved much worse than what they got. They deserved that and much worse. And they were as guilty as you can possibly be. The evidence against them was absolutely, absolutely the most solid case you could possibly have. Thank you, Mr. VSS. And we go now to Papercut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim Matisyahu is coming to SoCal, Temple Solel, April 19th. How do you feel about his music, unquote? Papercut, I can't stand Jews or white people that imitate black music, so-called music. I don't consider the music to be real music. Jews or white people who do so-called rap or hip hop, oh, I can't stand that. They have to imitate the most ignorant culture on the face of the earth, the stupidest, most ignorant people on the face of the earth. They have to imitate, as if it's cool to be a moron. I mean, you know, the type of ranting that you would have in the jungle in Africa, they call that music, and the Jews who come from such a great culture and who created such great music historically. I mean, most American music, Irving Berlin, Gershwin. I mean, most American, the origins of most American music, look, the Jews were 2% of the population. Look at how much they contributed to American music and to music internationally. And they, coming from this culture, they have to lower themselves to become rappers. I know there's some people say, well, but his message is a good Orthodox Jewish message. Ugh. I think to mix Judaism in with that horrible reggae, which is all drug addict music from all these drug addicts from the Caribbean, the reggae and the rapping and the hip hop, I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. And lately, surely enough, what is he doing? You know, he shaved the beard off and bleaches his hair now and has no keep. He appeared with bleached hair and no kippah. No kippah means no head covering. You know, Jews are supposed to wear a head covering. We call it a kippah to show that they're under God, show their commitment to God. You know. So he got rid of that, and he's saying, no, I'm not with that anymore. And now he's, you know, he did that a couple, I don't know if he's still doing that, but a couple of years ago he was appearing like that. And now he performs with Muslim so-called rappers. So he's giving legitimacy to Muslims who want to exterminate the Jewish people and have a religion that calls for the extermination of the Jews and of all non-Muslim infidels. This is who he appears with? So I'm sorry, I think it's very, very negative. I don't think it's a positive influence on the world. Thank you, Papercut. We go now to Righteous Indian Gentile, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think Netanyahu will bomb Iran with help of Saudis? And have you heard of an EMP attack by America?" Unquote. Well, of course, I hope and pray that Netanyahu will bomb Iran. I'm very skeptical because I don't think he has the guts to do it, unfortunately. It is something Israel is militarily capable of doing, but I don't think they have the guts. The Saudis want them to do it. Even though the Saudis are Jew haters, the Saudis despise the Jewish people. Nevertheless, they know that if Iran develops nuclear weapons, it's a danger to them too. So temporarily, they're willing to temporarily help Israel in this situation, even though they hate Israel and they hate the Jews and they sponsor terrorism, the Saudis, but they're willing to even temporarily offer their airfields and their territory and say, go, do what you have to do. Please, just get rid of this. You know, that's how serious they understand the problem to be. The Saudis actually want this to happen. They want Netanyahu to do it, but he's so gutless. He talks tough and does nothing. So I'm very skeptical. I hope and pray that he finally wakes up and decides we've got to do this. I hope and pray he does, but I'm skeptical. We're going to keep pressuring, and we have to keep speaking out and demanding that military action be taken, either by Israel or the United States. Military action must be taken to destroy the Iranian nuclear bomb making program. I don't know how likely it is that Netanyahu's going to do it. I think if we had a new American president, a Republican president, who supported doing that, who was willing to give Israel a green light, then I think it could possibly happen. I think with the right Republican president, the United States might even do it. So God willing, we're hope that may be our last hope. A righteous Indian Gentile now writes, have you heard of an EMP attack by America? I think you're referring to an attack on Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. I don't know. I do think America does occasionally make certain attacks on the Iranian program. I think there have been cases in the past where that's happened, but that is not enough to deal with this problem. That can slightly slow it down and cause them technical problems here and there, but it's not enough. It's just not enough to stop it. Thank you, Righteous Indian Gentile. And we go now to Manch, who writes, and I quote, with a heavy heart, after closely following political debate and election in Israel, I'm convinced Israel's salvation isn't of Chaim ben Pesach or Kahana, but of Arabs, unquote. I think what you mean is that the Arabs, in the end, are going to finally wake the Jews up because of their hostility toward the Jewish people, and that maybe they'll finally, I assume that's what you mean, Manch. I hope I'm interpreting your question correctly, that they're the ones who are going to wake the Jewish people up. There is some truth to that. I think there's some truth to that. We have to be there though, Manch, because there has to be somebody then when the Israeli people do wake up to say, okay, now what do we do? What action do we take? There has to be somebody to do that. And Israelis have to be persuaded that the Arabs have to be moved out of Israel, that we cannot have them living there, and that we have to have a land of Israel without territorial concessions. And that's the only way we're going to survive, with full Jewish settlement and with moving the Arabs out, encouraging them to leave, and with ensuring Jewish sovereignty over the land of Israel. Those are the things we have to encourage the Jews of Israel to accept. Will Arab behavior, crazy Arab behavior and hostile Arab behavior, convince the Jews that that's what has to be done? I think it will play a role. I think it will. Thank you, Manch. And I want to thank everybody for a program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.